Now coming back to our drain case study, 10 MLD of untreated sewage from the village and 9 MLD of treated sewage from the sewage treatment plant used to be dumped into the same water body. And you can see in the video that though it is a drain, it is supposed to flow, but the water is completely still. There is absolutely zero movement. So the embankment also does not have too much of greenery. There are weeds here and there. The water is absolutely black. The solid waste dumping is also there. And that is the overall condition of the drain. Now, once we start the treatment, as I said, we study the water body, we make a medicine, amalgamate into fresh water from the same agroclimatic zone, and just pour it into the water body early morning at the time of sunrise. So can see this water is being poured, and when it is where it is falling, why we capture this video is just to understand the response of the water body to the medication. You can see where it is falling. There is a lot of froth which is getting generated, which is indicative of the amount of phosphate which is there into the water. And if you just zoom in the video, you will understand that there's a lot of black substance oozing out from the point where the discharge is happening. So this is basically the deposit, bottom deposit of the sludge. Now, after about a month, you can see the condition. It is 100% in situ again. You can see the flow is back, and the water is transparent to the extent that you can see what is beneath the top surface of water. Right? We have not even removed a single polythene or any waste which was being dumped there. Done it on purpose so that you can understand it is 100% in situ. We have not done any physical makeover and any cosmetic changes. It is 100% as it is conditioned. So the foul smell was gone, the mosquito population was gone, birds, bees, butterflies were back, the odor nuisance was finished, and the flow was restored. Now, interestingly, Punjab Pollution Control Board gave us this study project for 2 months, and they gave another project to Punjab Biotechnology Lab for collecting data in terms of the quality of sludge, the quality of water, as well as the quality of air. And interestingly, they could see a difference in all three layers. So this was again Dainik Jagran, which created the headline that from drain to a river transformation is happening, and Punjab Pollution Control Board has taken this a new project for ecological resurrection of the drain. So here are the lab reports. All the scientific data is there, how it changed into the water quality. First month, second month, this is the sludge quality analysis and the air quality analysis. So all this has again happened in situ. Now we have seen a lake and we have seen a drain. Now we are coming on to a river. The river is again a third state. This is Madhya Pradesh. The place is Chitrakoot, district is Satna, and the river is Mandakini. This was the pre-treatment condition, just a 1 month proof of concept that we delivered free of cost just to make them understand how it works. And again, in situ. So the problem was standard. But there is a very interesting case study behind this particular project because Mandakini is just a small river, just about 58 odd kilometers. It starts. This is one of a unique river in India which flows from south to north. Within this 58 kilometers, it starts from Anusuya Ghat and it's a tributary for Yamuna. Such small rivers usually do not flood, but this river started flooding in the year 2015, consecutively in 16 and 17. 17 MP Pollution Control Board took cognizance of the matter and they thought that probably the river channel has polluted to a great extent. We need to build an STP. So they took 1 year for building up an STP. 4.7 MLD STP was created. From 17 to 18, still it flooded in 17, it flooded in 18. They spent almost 85 crore rupees in building of an STP. Took one complete year for building of an STP. But the flooding problem remained the same because it flooded in 19 also. So the local administration, which is heavily dependent on the pilgrims, so they were looking out for a solution. And fortunately, by then, we have done a lot of projects around Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh. So they got in touch with us and they asked us to give them a proof of concept. If you can look into the dates, this is exactly 1 month before outbreak of COVID-19 in India. So we did this proof of concept. We explained them how it can be done. And within just 1 month of treatment, we were able to show a significant difference into the water body. These people who were interacting with the water body on a regular basis, like this guy who is actually taking pilgrims on a boat. Yeah. So this guy is having his boat on that ghat and he's taking all the pilgrims around. So he shares his experience that the maneuvering of the boat has become much, much easier now. Earlier, his pedal used to get entangled into the weeds because there they had a variety of hydrilla, which is a very strong weed, very rugged weed, and it is submerged in the water. So from the top surface, you won't be able to see that weed. But in the bottom, it is a very strong weed. It can actually hold on your pedal. Your pedal can get entangled with it. But after the 1 month of treatment, this guy is giving his statement that now the pedal is able to actually break the weeds. The weeds have become so weak. The clarity of water has increased up. So his tip has gone up because now he can show fishes roaming around below the boat. So when he's taking the pilgrims on a ride, he gets a much better tip. So this video is also there on our YouTube channel. So you can actually go there and you can watch it because probably.
आज की तारीख है 30 जनवरी 2020. काई उतरा है तो उसको निकाल करके हम लोग बाहर करना चाहते हैं. नहीं लेकिन अभी आप मत करो. जब हम बोलेंगे जरूरत पड़ेगी तो करता.
So that was his feedback, and then we got a completion and satisfaction certificate from the administration. They were pretty happy, and the best part of this was proven during the monsoon, when it rained more in 2020 compared to 2019. But this time the ghat of Mandakini River did not get flooded, so that was a big achievement, as we consider it as a big achievement for our technology. And that was a river case study. Now, this is another lake. This is purely a biodiversity conservation project itself. This is in Assam. This is Jor Pukhri. You can see the behavior of the birds. Pre-treatment, they were all outside. Post-treatment, they were all inside. So they can also understand the kind of difference which has occurred into the water. As far as the color difference that we can see, there is a simple plea that people can take that, okay, you must have done a Photoshop of that. But Photoshop cannot make the birds go inside the water instead of standing outside the water. This project was inaugurated by Honorable Chief Minister of Assam as the Amrit Sarovar. Now, this is another interesting case study, the case study for Moradabad, wherein we are doing multiple water bodies across the city. Interestingly, Moradabad, before the treatment, we got the project in May last year. And before that, the 5 years data is there, which shows that it was having the worst possible air quality between 200 and 300 plus. And that was consistent for last 5 years. And we did a treatment just for about 7-8 months. In December 22, Moradabad city actually got an award for best work in air pollution mitigation. So this is the data for that. You can see from 51 to maximum 200 is the last 5 months data, the last 5 months of 22. wherein this study was conducted, and they got the award. And we were just doing the water body rejuvenation. So as I said, the top surface of the water body is negatively charged, and the air pollution, largely the particulate matter, is positively charged. So it naturally gets attracted to the top surface of the water body, making a natural air pollution mitigation phenomena. Then there are some headlines. And now coming on to the misconceptions, what we usually have, we only take water body as a pool or reservoir of water. That is why our focus is always on cleaning of the water, not restoring the ecosystem services. That is what is affecting the water abundance, because water bodies are not just reservoir or pool of water. They are much more. That is what I explained into the previous slides. Now, this is what is the usual approach of the administration. You can see a case study. Either we do a sewage treatment plant, or we do rainwater harvesting, or we do plantation drive, or we do water body desilting. None of them actually restores the ecosystem services. Usually the approach, I mean, what you have on the right-hand side of your screen is a real-time case study from Vimaleshwar Tirth Pond in Sagga village of Neelokhedi block, district Karnal, Haryana. Before treatment, you can see there was a lot of water. The water body was not in good shape. After treatment, you can see there is a wonderful shape in the body, but there is no water, right? So are we saving the water body, or we are saving just the body? So this is the normal, usual approach of the administration, that you have to save a water body, first throw away the water. So we are just saving the body. We're not saving the water body. So that is very, very important to understand, that water bodies are not just bodies of water. They are a huge number of ecosystem service providers. And the reclamation approach, or the restoration approach, should be replaced with a rejuvenation approach, so that all the ecosystem services are restored, the aquatic food chain is restored, and the impact of a healthy surface water body can actually be seen in the subsurface water also. We've actually delivered a successful project in village Dattod of Rohtak district. There is a Sapla block wherein this village is there. And we treated the surface water body, and in a radius of 30 meters, in a matter of 6 months, all the boreholes which had saline water actually recorded a reduction into the salinity. So we just have to focus on a healthy surface water body, not just a clean surface water body, and rest all the things will start falling in place. So that's about it. If you have any queries, you can please ask.
Thank you so much, Madhukar, and this is fascinating. The reason being, you know, so many of us who are into developmental sector, we love models, complication, lot of data, and we look for very complicated technologies, and we feel that, you know, this is going to get us the solution. Many of us are tuned mentally to look for more complication, whereas nature has given us the power. And those of us who have looked at bioremediation right from the time it was promulgated by Osho in his ashram, that you don't need, the nature itself has the power to heal, provided, you know, you help make sure that it can rejuvenate, it can take care. So I think this is a very simple but very effective, and I think your videos and case studies and numbers say a lot. And I'm sure several of us can relate to these images of how shoddy our drains are, what kind of pollutions we face, what is the human health consequences, the implication it has on land values, on quality of life, et cetera, et cetera. So this is fascinating. Let me just pause here, and before we open the floor for questions for people who are connected online as well as in this room, I wanted to introduce two discussants, and each one of them, Joe Turod, who's the lead environmental specialist and also dons the hat of Regional Safeguards Coordinator on the environment front. I wanted to check with Joe on what he feels is the significance of nature-based solutions. Do you think this is another fad, or do you think it can really help, improve the water management climate resilience, at least in the water sector, Joe. So with your thoughts, then I will turn to Dr. Reddy to check on his views on the social side. But to you, Joe, first.
Thank you, Neha. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very clearly.
Okay. Yeah, and thank you very much, Ashish and Madhukar, for that not only interesting, fascinating, but amazing, you know, presentation with well-documented case studies. I mean, this presentation brought me back to, you know, my early years as a limnologist. I was trained as a limnologist before I became a generalist and, you know, and working in the bank as an environmental specialist. And I'm actually fascinated by, you know, the case studies, the success stories of rejuvenating these polluted water bodies, be it lake, drain, or river system. Because as a limnologist, I was always trained, to believe that nature healing takes time, and that if you restore ecosystems in a natural manner, that it won't happen, you know, in a span of, you know, 24 hours, 1 month, or 6 months, or 12 months. But the case studies that you have just presented, you know, defy that, conception or misconception on how nature rejuvenation or healing, takes time. I mean, at first I was skeptical, really, to be honest, because again, I was trained to believe that nature healing takes time. But then again, based on those, case studies that are well documented with dates, you know, attached to it before and after treatment, I'm convinced that, nature healing could be facilitated, could be done in a more, in a quicker manner, provided that, you know, as you said, the central to the restoration is that we restore the native ecology, the native or the natural ecosystem, boosting the strength of the system to be able to, you know, to restore in a quicker manner rather than, you know, taking time. So after presenting those case studies, well-documented case studies, I am now keen to believe that nature-based solutions would actually be, you know, implemented with, you know, quick results, not only cheaper, natural, affordable, but can also be done in a quicker manner. So I think moving forward, it would be, you know, interesting and interesting to convince decision makers, as Maninder has mentioned earlier, that this is a technology that is well developed, that is proven to work, and that a technology that can be adapted, in a low capacity environment, in a water stress polluted, polluted environment, that this is a technology that can be, taken to scale. And I think this provides a lot of opportunity in this region, in India in particular, where we are faced with, not only with water pollution, water crisis, water scarcity, drought, and reuse of water. So really, I mean, it offers a lot of opportunities for us in India to scale this up in many of our projects, but also in the government's program. I think it's really exciting and, offers a lot of opportunities for scaling up. I'll stop here, Neha. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joe. I know it's very stimulating for all of us who deal with issues on water and water pollution day in and out. Let me now invite Dr. Ayubi Reddy. And Dr. Reddy is a lead and a social development specialist, and also concurrently wears the hat of regional safeguards coordinator for social aspects in the South Asia region. He has a tremendous experience behind him and has seen and worked in many countries. We would like to have your thoughts on what you have heard, sir, particularly from the perspective of people's and communities' dimension. What normally happens is that wastewater is looked at as a technical subject. We normally focus on water quality and minimizing environment impact, but the social facets and issues that are involved with having not only a clean water body, but a lively water body and all that it offers to the people around. What are your thoughts? And do you think a technology like this will find an uptake? And do you think this can work as far as South Asia is concerned? Thank you, sir.
Okay, Neha, thank you. Thanks, Madhukar and Ashish, for sharing your work. In fact, this is the first time that I'm learning on these things. I have no idea about how this works earlier, whether there is similar situations are there, etc. Okay, from my point of view, I would like to focus on three aspects how we can scale up. So that's the way the challenge runs. No doubt, this is a global challenge, but you're shown how the local and natural solutions can be found for a sustainable of this water bodies regeneration and its benefits. One is that, of course, these solutions are done with the local people, with the local, because they're the assets. They know their local condition. They know the nature, how it behaves in their areas. So they're the best people, if you want to involve them, to find solutions and adopt these practices and to a scale. What I see is that there are two challenges to scale up these things. These are all now, what I understand, it's all at local level, at a limited scale, how we can the value and the benefits can be scaled up. So that's the challenge before us. So one is the capacity, whether we have a capacity to scale up at a large scale these solutions, how we can develop this capacity, how we can involve the government and decision makers to sell this concept, and how we can put the capacity to scale up. That's one. The other is that the knowledge gap, whether people are aware this, there's such solutions are there, a quick solutions, cost-effective solutions, and acceptable solutions. So the knowledge and the research, which you have shown, several researches you have done and documented and you're sharing. So that is another gap where, if you want to scale up, the one is the capacity to scale up these solutions, to scale up this work to meet the demand. And the second is that how we can share the knowledge, how we share the benefits in terms of health, medical, livelihood, all other people will know, not only the clean and air water, but the other benefits associated, particularly you told, you have a lot of benefits to agriculture, horticulture, and animal husbandry, which you want to share in a separate session. So that's where the livelihood angle comes, how these benefits can. So these are the two important things for the scale-up. But the other important thing is that awareness. How much people are aware these solutions are there, whether we can use these solutions, etc. People are using the modern alternative solutions for this regeneration of the water bodies, another thing. So that is where another area where we have to focus, how we can aware the local people, the decision makers, and others who are involved in these activities. That's another area which you have to focus. The third is that how we can meet the vulnerabilities of the climate change to the local people, in terms of floods, in terms of cyclones, or in terms of droughts, how these water bodies can solve these vulnerabilities of the people. We need to have some kind of a guidance. We need to have some kind of examples how this work and the vulnerabilities can be done. That's the emerging area. We see in South Asia, the floods, the cyclones, drought, landslides. These are the recurring phenomenon. So how these vulnerabilities, particularly the people who suffer, is the most vulnerable and the low income is getting. So that is another area where we need to have some kind of a documentary evidence, how these can, the water bodies, regeneration of water bodies can take into these climate risks can be mitigated and weigh solutions. But at the end, what we need is that We need to have an integrated approach in technical, economic, environment, social aspects together, how we can these solutions can be adopted, where it can have a long-lasting, sustainable solutions for water bodies regeneration, et cetera. So these are some of my thoughts, how we can take up or scale up these solutions where available. It's still at, still maybe you can just share us, what is the origin of this nature-based solutions? How it is evolved, how it started? Maybe I'm curious to know. So maybe in your responses, you can see what is this origin, how it is, where we stand at this our country, and how we can scale up, et cetera. These are the few thoughts, and over to Neha.
Thank you so much, sir. And I think what you've done is led us to a situation where we can open up the discussion. Of course, these questions from Dr. Reddy, we are also very keen to hear your response. And while you prepare for that, I would also like to invite Maninder and all colleagues connected online to see if you have a question, or would you like Madhukar and Ashish to elaborate on any of the points that you have heard. Your questions have started coming into the chat box. I'll read it out for you. But in the meantime, also feel free to raise your hand so that we can come to you. I see Kaluhat from Sri Lanka. You have a question, Kaluhat? You can come in.
Hi, Neha. This is Nadira.
Oh,
recently,
that's you, Nadira. Okay.
Recently, there was a change in the name in the system. My entire name had to be put into the system. So Kaluhat is my gay name. It's me, Nadira. So thanks, Neha. Thank you very much. I mean, this has been an extremely fantastic presentation. I really listened with a lot of interest because I worked in the urban sector in Colombo, and we've been trying to grapple with this urban water pollution with all kinds of models and the science that we know. And as Joe mentioned earlier, we've been trained to think that a water body restoration of water bodies is quite a cumbersome process, and that bioremediation takes a long time to show results. So this case study seems to break down all the theories that we have come to believe all this time. I just want to I have just four quick questions. I don't want to take a lot of time, but I just have four quick questions to ask from the presenters. One is that you said that this botanical concoction that you mix with water and put into the water body, is it a one-time treatment, or is it a continuous treatment for until you achieve your water quality goals in the water body? That's one question. The other one is it possible for is this bioremediation possible for large water bodies like I have in mind particularly a urban lake in Colombo, Beira Lake, which is more than 100 hectares in its water surface area, because the pictures that you showed, I know that you presented a case for the river as well, but the lakes that you presented seem to me visually smaller size lakes. Number three is that did you combine the bioremediation method with other hard grain infrastructure like sewage, catching the sewage and basically diversion and treatment of sewage that was coming into the lake? And fourth question is whether this technology is commercially available right now, or what plans do you have to make it commercially available so that this technology can also come to other countries? Just sorry, four questions there, but very quickly, just very curious to know.
Thank you, Nadira. And we also have a series of questions on the chat, quite technical, but I'll let Madhukar and Ashish answer these questions that you had and Dr. Reddy before we take on more.
So I'll start with Dr. Reddy's queries. The first is scalability. Sir, it is as scalable as we can go global tomorrow, if you want. So scalability is not a challenge. Awareness, yes, we are a small-time startup. So it takes a long time for a startup like us to make people aware. So, but we're trying our level best. We've been awarded as water hero. By that virtue, we got access to Central Ministry of Jal Shakti, and we participated into Water Vision 2047. We were one of the only few startups who were invited in there. Except for us, rest everybody was a government PSU there. And we gave a presentation to almost 9 different state water ministers. Afterwards, we were invited to the state. We visited multiple states after that. We were one of the few invitees into Global Investor Summit in UP. We've tied up with IIT Delhi. We are tied up with IIT BHU. The Indo-Nordic Forum also invites us as a speaker, as a water expert. The Biodiversity Forum, which is again an Indo-EU joint forum, there also we've been invited as a speaker. So we are trying to cover as much ground as possible at different levels, whether it is academics, whether it is researchers, whether it is training government organizations and people. We are a part of Amrut 2.0 as a technology partner from Ministry of Housing and Urban Affairs. We are a training partner to Atal Bhujal Yojana in government of Haryana. So we are trying our level best. So scalability does take time because we have got limited resources. As far as the climate change vulnerability is concerned, yes, there is definitely an impact. An impact can be measured. That is why we have tied up with IIT Delhi as a knowledge partner. We're conducting, very soon the project will start for conducting the greenhouse gas emission from the drains and how we can treat them in situ condition so that this emission can be brought down and rather sequestration can start happening from the same water bodies, because water bodies are the only structures in the world which can go both ways. They can be emitters also, they can be sequesters also. Rest, no other structure in the world can go both ways. So this is a unique property of the water body. If they're healthy, they are sinks. If they are polluted, if they're unhealthy, they're emitters. So that's another aspect that we're working on. We've tied up with Asian Development Research Institute in Patna for conducting similar kind of studies in Bihar. So we're trying our level best. Yes, there is an impact, but measuring that impact and getting onto a presentation like this with all sorts of scientific data needs a lot of expertise. So that is why we are trying to find out all the partners and building that ecosystem. Right. Now, coming on to the questions from Sri Lanka, ma'am, I explained about the duration in, I think, the second slide, wherein I was talking about three phases of the treatment. The first phase is called resurrection, wherein our focus is on resurrection of the native dormant microbiota. And let me just explain, this is not a bioremediation. Bioremediation is technically understood as when you get a lab-grown organism to be introduced into the limnology, which is a wrong approach. You are actually introducing an invasive species. So that will not be an effective treatment at all. So what we are doing, we have coined the term cownomics, but that is a brand name. We own the rights for that particular brand name, Cownomics Technology. But what we are doing is what I have explained. We are resurrecting the native microbiota. We are not introducing an organism into the limnology. So the duration is divided into three phases. The first phase is called resurrection. The second phase is restoration, wherein our focus is on consumption of the bottom deposits of the sludge. And the third phase is called rejuvenation, wherein we calibrate the fresh incoming load of the contamination with the digestion capacity of the water body. So these are the three phases. The phases may vary from 3 months to 6 months to 1 year. It depends upon the study of the water body. It may vary from one place to another. Like the three examples I gave you, the first example was for Kashi for Varanasi, the Leher Tara Lake. That project was done for 12 months, continuous. The second example was Patiala. That was a drain, which was done only for 2 months. And the third example was of the river, which was done only for 1 month, free of cost, proof of concept, right? So treatment will vary from one place to another, but just to take a ballpark figure, you can take every treatment would last at least for a year's time. So 3, 3, 6. So that would be the duration. As far as large water bodies are concerned, we are the only technology which is happy to do as large water body as possible because our energy engine is sunlight. So the bigger is the size of the water body, the more sunlight we can collect, and obviously the better results you'll get. So we are not bothered about the size of the water body. In fact, we were the only technology which was invited by the Committee of Experts for Dal Lake Rejuvenation to present our case in front of the entire committee. And they were pretty happy with our technology there. Then your question was combination. No, this entire treatment is done 100% in situ. No single drain is diverted or stopped during the treatment. Because as I said in, I think, the second slide itself, we have to transform the liabilities into asset. And the biggest liability we have is the wastewater inlet into the water body. So we transform that wastewater as a nutrient so that it can produce planktons, which can restore the aquatic food chain. The last question was commercially available. Yes, all these projects were commercial. And all across India, we're doing commercial projects only. Yes, it is commercially available. And you can get in touch with Mr. Ashish. In the last slide, you had the details, so you can get in touch with him for the commercial aspect of it. I'm sorry, I'm not a commercial guy. I can't explain too much on technology.